Please hang up and try again.
I like the sexy lady.
Please hang up and try again. Please hang up and try again. Please hang up and try again.
This woman's got the most boring job in the whole world.
Please hang up and try again.
I think probably quite
please
overworked.
Hang up and try again.
I feel really sorry
please
for that.
Please hang up and try again. Please hang up and try again.
Hey, 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 we are here at episode 12.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, that was a bit harsh. So, yes.
The introduction gets sadder and sadder and sadder.
Well, we're running out of ideas. 12 episodes down the line. It's July.
Well, we said hello, it's episode X. For every single one.
What are we supposed to say?
That's tradition.
Yeah.
Silence for the edit.
No.
Silence
for the edit. I haven't said that for ages.
So, what we're going to talk about today? Should we talk about
Project Looking Glass?
Hey guys, we've got loads of stuff to talk about this week. We're going to talk about Project Looking Glass, Mac OS X Tiger, and Microsoft FUD.
One of Matt's eyeballs has just fallen out.
That was quite concerning. Yeah,
don't do that again. That's too weird for words.
Squeaky Matt.
All I can say is the Linux Links guys, right? Link must sit about 10 feet away from to do that intro because Matt scared the shit out of me. He's only a little man. Scared him.
He is only a little man. You've got a cow in your t-shirt, Matt.
It's a dog. Toto didn't grow up on a farm, everyone, it seems.
It's like a cow. But he has had plenty of old dogs in his time.
Your t-shirt's by Aardman Animations.
I wonder what happened when I tried to milk it.
£4 from Primark.
It took absolutely... Sam, what's this, actually? Oh, it's a Primark t-shirt.
What is this fashion tips for...
You started it.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about these wondrous topics. We have a guest in the studio. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Say hello at this point.
I'm Austin, and I'm a Mac geek.
Right, get out. All right, you've had your fun.
He's going to tell us how to put a tiger in our tank later.
Yeah.
And then we're going to murder him and stick him in the bin outside.
We're also going to speak to Justin Wren or Russ and Jen.
Eh?
We're going to speak to Russ and Jen as well, up in Cumbria Lurg.
We are. We're going to give him a ring.
When do we get the hugs off Jen?
I don't know.
They've been promised, truly, on the forum.
Oh, I don't know when guys get any.
is that legally binding?
Oh, let's get on with it. We're starting to rumble, guys.
We need to keep this rambling down to a bare minimum.
Linux. This is a bare minimum.
Linux.
We now take turns to ramble.
Right. Linux.
Let's get on with it.
You are listening to the Gladio.
Right, now what we're going to do is we're going to get started and have a bit of an interview. This is going to be with Russ and Jen
from the Cumbria. Forums.
From
Cumbria Lug.
From Cumbria and the forums.
Hello.
From Cumbria.
I come from Cumbria.
That's Johnny Vegas. He's not from Cumbria.
Monka.
Do you like my lake?
I used to know a girl from Cumbria. She worked in Sellafield and she was a contractor.
Pretty lass.
Oh, she was good.
Three heads.
The third eye came in.
They kicked her out because of all the anti-nuclear power badges she'd got all over. Anyway, back to this. Cumbria, yeah, they're from Cumbria. We're going to give them a call about the FUD thing. Microsoft, what was it really called?
Tour.
It was called the Get the Facts Tour, but it's been monikered up as the Get the FUD Tour.
It was in Manchester.
It was!
Bolton or something, surely.
Right, should we give them a ring?
Yep.
We shall.
What's his name? Hello?
Hello, is that Russ?
Yep.
Hello, Russ. You are live on Lug Radio.
Fantastic. Can you just give me a second? I'll see if I can get Jen on.
All right. Bear with us, listeners. We're having a...
Hello?
Oh, hello, Jen. How are you doing?
You sound much better than you did. I can hear you now.
We've just had a voice transplant.
You're not meant to make out that we've spoken to you already. Cool, you're ruining the illusion.
You know, David Blunkey never says things like that to the blokes on the Today programme.
No, he accused them of being in checkmate early on.
Well,
you guys just feel the pieces.
Now, we've got to listen to the people we're interviewing. So, could everyone be quiet and just let them talk? What did you think of the Microsoft show?
It was interesting.
In what way?
What did strike me about it was, right at the start, one of the Microsoft guys said they like this debate because they've got a strong message and they're right and therefore, you know, get into a debate like this, they can prove to everybody that they're right and they've got this really strong message, and everybody will go away and think, wow, we need more Windows boxes.
Right, okay, and I mean, did you think the show was objective at all?
Not really. Jen was just saying that she thought they tried to make it sound objective, in that things like the Metagroup guy had all sorts of numbers showing how good things were relative to each other.
Yeah.
But they didn't actually back it up and say this is why we think Apache is a brilliant web server and why we think all the open source databases are shit. But the thing that struck me about the strong message thing was that they kept contradicting themselves.
Right, really?
In what way? I mean, what did they actually present as being like the business case for using Windows? What was, you know, what did they actually come out with any really good reasons for using Windows?
They came up with some interesting reasons. They actually, one of the things that struck me was we worked for a small company with about 10 or 12 desktops. When we signed up for it, we told them that because that was one of the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept on us about if you've got thousands of desktops to roll it out to, it's going to be a nightmare. If you've only got a few tens or a few hundreds, then switching to Linux is a doddle.
Yeah.
And I thought,
Well, I mean, I was at the show as well, and the one thing that I noticed was that the three people who were doing the talks, they were from enormous organisations.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there was one that was a retail solutions provider, and they you know, they deal with, like, most of the big street clients, the big street stores.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, you know, I mean, on the flip side, for the smaller organisations, you know, how are people going to perceive Microsoft solutions working there?
Yeah.
But it seemed interesting in the way that it was very much a pro-Microsoft event, I think.
Well, remind you that this is an interview.
And
you might want to give us a chance.
Oh, sorry, Sparks. What do you think, Sparks?
So, Ross and Jen, one of the things that I remember we spoke about earlier before we started recording was you said that one of the reasons that Microsoft gave for carrying on using Windows was that, well, it's the easiest thing, you're kind of stuck with it now. Can you give us a bit more information on that?
Yeah, I mean, they... one of the common, it seems to be a theme throughout the day, but they basically said, you've already got Windows, and therefore upgrading to the next version of Windows is nice and easy because nothing ever goes wrong. You know, if you've got Windows 2000, you migrate to Windows XP, everything's nice and simple, everybody knows how to use it, there's no training costs, all your sysadmins know Windows, everything's easy. But if you want to switch to Linux, then you need to train your people who are actually sat in front of the desktops how to use Linux. You need sysadmins who know how to use Linux, and the whole thing gets complicated and difficult. But there were one or two, I can't remember exactly what they said, but it just sounded to me, I mean, maybe I was just being cynical, but it just sounded to me like what they were really saying was, you're locked in now, just get used to it, don't even bother trying to get out.
All right, yeah, exactly that. I mean, it sounds altogether like they're just saying, well, you know, we've already won.
Was it only Linux that they were speaking in reference to? I mean, did they mention anything else, like, I don't know, legacy Unix systems or MacOS or anything like that?
Most of the... they tended to refer to open source as opposed to just Linux. The Meta guy was talking about data centers a lot, and he was saying that Linux is taking market share from Unix rather than Windows. And in, I think it's about 2008, he reckons Unix will basically be dead in the water. But they didn't mention macOS.
No.
So do you think, I mean, do you think that there was any value in what they were saying, or do you think that it was complete FUD?
I'm sure there was some truth in it.
You just couldn't see it.
Was the true bit the fact they said, oh, well, we're in Manchester today and we're from Microsoft?
Well, it's not like that, but I mean, on the whole, they, I think generally when they were talking about Windows, they didn't lie. I think when they were talking about open source, I don't know if they blatantly lied at any point, but they certainly gave misleading impressions.
One of the things they said that was misleading was that they made a big deal out of with all open source software, you have to read the license very carefully. Well, to me, if I go and get an open source piece of software, all I need to do is look and see if it's GPL, and I know what it means. But that isn't true with Windows, because just about every Windows license is different.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And actually, in the question and answer session at the end, a guy brought up an issue about that with Visual Fox Pro, because a while back somebody found out they could run Visual Fox Pro programs on Linux on the Wine, and he did a bit of a presentation at some sort of computer do about this, and this is all this stuff you've written in Visual Fox Pro, you can run it on Linux and you can talk to loads of new people. Fantastic. The next version of Visual Fox Pro, they changed the license specifically to outlaw that kind of thing.
There's a thing on the Linux Journal website about this. I think it was the original guy who did it, who was won Visual Fox Pro Professional of the Year award or something.
Because he was the only Visual Fox Pro professional in the country, probably.
But yeah, so all in all, I mean, what would you say is your summary of the Microsoft Get the Fact show? What did you take away from it?
Free pen.
I think one of the main things I took away from it was the open source isn't free, but they charge you for it. Because they give it away, they can't spend any money on research and development, therefore can't improve it. But Linux has improved massively over the past few years, and they expect it to keep on getting better. It was just full of contradictions like that the whole day.
Did they mention anything about Longhorn or any developments Microsoft themselves were making, rather than just standing there saying, oh, Linux is rubbish? Did they actually say, well, Longhorn's going to be really great, stick with us and the future's really with us, or...?
They didn't discuss Longhorn very much, but they did make a big thing out of Service Pack 2 for Windows XP.
Is that the is that the Service Pack where they decided to put security over features?
Yes.
I thought so, yeah. I'm not up on my Windows Service Pack.
They changed one of the features so that when you click on an attachment, if you just hit enter, it cancels instead of OKs, opening the attachment.
Geniuses.
Such a good move there, I thought.
I can detect the sarcasm in your voice there, Jen.
Ross and Jen, before we kind of wrap this up, can you let us know a little bit about kind of your Linux usage and, how you got into it, just so that our listeners have a bit of background as to, what sort of background you came from when going to the FactFest thing.
Background.
My answer to that is nice and easy. It's all his fault. I blame
spill
him
beans,
entirely.
I can't deny that. And I blame my university education. I first saw Linux in my first year at uni. My degree was computer and network engineering. One of the things we did in the first year was install Slackware version whatever it was.
One or something. Excellent.
That's wiki.
Russ.
Just to know the bandwidth to download Slackware.
The only things I remember were that to get X working, we had to edit text files by hand, and the window manager was FVWM something.
Now, X working, you still have to edit text files by hand?
Ross, you're obviously a bit of a ladies' man. Have you got any tips for our Linux brethren on how to find a wife? Only joking. Well, thanks very much for joining us today.
I have one last question.
Sorry
to interrupt, Matthew.
No, okay, fine.
Mm-mm. Obviously, the pair of you, you indulge in the delights of Linux. Mm-hmm. Do you hang penguins on the wall? Do you have a penguin bed?
No, we just drown them.
That's a bit cruel.
We are currently sipping Coke with penguin drinks coolers in.
My
but
goodness.
That's as far as we go.
So do you think you're the Telsa and Alan Cox of...
Cumbria.
Of Cumbria.
Or the Richard and Judy.
Probably closer to Richard and Judy.
Yeah, probably.
Ominous silence there. Fantastic. Well,
thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sparks.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Right, Desert Island Disc has been a semi-popular feature of Lug Radio over the past few weeks.
What's semi-popular?
Well, it was
that'll
popular.
That'll be pop-y.
It means it's like half of an old Ford car.
Can I not? Good, good, good. Nice
two
joke.
Two fucking popular base jokes. God, we are quality here.
Can
aren't
I
we?
Not introduce an
no,
item?
Sorry.
Right.
No, you can't.
As is clearly evident.
Anyway, we're dumping it, right? So get used to
you're
it.
You're right, Ak. Sorry, carry on.
Right, we're ditching Desert Island Discs. It's got boring. You're all sending the same crap. And we've got abuse on the forums for slagging your stuff off. So, you know, sod that. We're not having that. So we're ditching it.
What's
right.
happened to Matt? It's turned into evil, Matt.
Sometimes it happens.
Matt's evil twin.
It's a full moon and Venus and all that. So we're, yeah, we're going to give you the highlights of a few that we've given over, that we've been sent in. So take it away, Jono Bacon.
All right,
oh, I see this one from Gabriel Allori there.
Gabe, yeah, want to invest in your country? Dear friend, I know this might come to you as a surprise.
Oh, spam. What a surprise.
It comes as an enormous surprise to me that he's from, where is he from?
Nigeria.
I want to invest in your country. We're one of the fucking seven richest countries in the world. we could buy Nigeria. We could import lions and tigers, and we could change the song to "Come to Nigeria, we've got lions."
The best thing about it is when he says we could buy Nigeria, what he means problems. Is the Lug Radio team could buy Nigeria. And we want a really limited budget.
Shouldn't right, slag off the developing world, but I think I've got a better enough chance in my pocket.
That's nice.
Right, we're going to run very quickly through this because we're doing the highlights of the last...
four emails have been sent.
Well, let's make this interesting. We'll each pick one, right? Close your eyes and then randomly hit the screen with your finger. I'll try.
Okay.
No, that's ridiculous because I can't actually reach the screen without knocking over all the microphones.
You should have a freakishly long finger.
I like to use my foot.
hang on. Oh, it's blank.
Jono chooses Mozilla Thunderbird.
Right, okay, I'm going to pick real VNC. Self-explanatory, really. Saves me having to get any exercise. I like VNC. It's great.
Yep. Bit slow.
It is a bit slow, yes.
It's well, not slow in your LAN.
It is slow in your LAN sometimes.
Seems fine on my LAN, seems fine SSH tunnelled from work.
Maybe it's just my slow wireless upstairs.
Maybe.
Do you want to pick one, chaps?
Yep, I'm going to go for Apollon, which is a bloody brilliant multi-protocol file-sharing application. The best of all worlds, according to DJ.
We should point out this is DJ, yeah.
Yeah, that was DJ. Yeah. Should we...
Very quickly, has anyone used Apollon?
I never heard of it.
If it's file sharing, this is, you know, sort of Winamex, LimeWire, Kazaa sort of file sharing, is it?
Someone told me that about those particular applications.
Is this...
I've never used
given,
it.
Given that we've never heard of it, has it got enough users to make it worthwhile?
It's probably on GNUtella or something like that, isn't it?
Ah, it could be. It could be a GNUtella client.
So, which is
that's a really nice thing, isn't it?
Yeah. DJ,
so I slag it off because it's not GNU.
Eh?
Yeah.
It's hanging off.
And in fact, the GNU people have got software. A note saying, we saw this piece of software called GNUtella. We know nothing about it. It doesn't appear to be GNU software. We don't know why they called it GNUtella.
Right, next one.
Should we pick two
I
from
think it's
Dave?
Going to be Nutella.
Yeah, we've got Dave Page.
Dave Page. He's gone into detail, hasn't he? Jesus.
Oh, man.
Fucking hell.
Dave.
Should we speed read it?
He says, up yow, eight pieces of software you can't live without. Is he from the Midlands? Yow. Da. right, do you want to pick one? I'll scroll slowly so you can choose.
I'll stop you when I see anything interesting.
I'm scrolling, we're at four.
Oh god, Request Tracker.
Tab browser extensions?
I fucking hated Request Tracker when I used it.
What is it, quickly tell us.
It's a web-based bug tracking system.
Web-based system.
It's probably an issue tracking system. Right.
We should point out that he's actually saved us a bit of work because he's actually got the thing you've got to apt-get to get any of this software.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't say, that's brilliant, apt-get Mozilla-Thunderbird, which actually on there, all sorted out for us.
I was looking at bug tracking systems for work, but I can't find any which are either just purely web-based, you've got to go to all the effort of logging in, which is a pain in the arse, or they're, you know, they can be email-based, but they're hardcore things like dead bugs. Well, which are no good for all the numpties I work with.
You let them send.
No, that's very fair. And if some of those numpties listen, I don't mean you.
So we go on to the next one.
Just forward all quick. Dev null. Because that's where they're going to end up anyway, in a waste paper bin. You're not going to
This is the problem. That's basically what's happening to our bugs at work at the moment anyway. So I thought we could do with some kind of tracking system.
They go via
but we've still not find feet. Anything.
What about Bugzilla? I mean, I know nothing about
the
tracking bugs.
The problem with Bugzilla is you've got to go to all the effort of logging in. It seems stupid when you are already logged into the network. Mm. So it could pick it up by hand, but then I'd have to hack the shit out of Bugzilla to handle seamless authentication and all that, and I can't be arsed.
Right, okay, next one.
Next one. Okay, I will scroll some more. Is this Sparks' choice?
Can be.
Hang on, you're going too fast. I'm slow.
I'll sit back.
What's Dave's real name? Is he...
It's Dave.
Is it Father Perf?
It's Dave.
Was it Elomir? Cow say. Make a cow say something.
Actually, cow say is cool.
I'll tell you what else, before we go any further, I'm bloody sure Dave's real name is not Father Perf. Yeah.
Well, let's have a look at the... Dave Hewitt.
It's Davey.
He says, what?
Is it?
Replace the cow with Tux, Hello Kitty, a Stegosaurus or other ASCII images for hours of fun.
This is the
absolutely apps brilliant. Get installed cow say, everyone.
This is a thing that prints up an ASCII cow with whatever you get it to say in a speech bubble, is it?
Yep.
It's nice that the guy who makes it has put it on his website under the where's directory, which is quite interesting. So, yeah.
But you Debian users will just be able to app to get installed cow say.
Yeah, like we don't believe in non-free software, but we've got where's in there.
So this is apt to get installed cow say as long as you've got, you know, the non-free archives in your sources.list.
It's where's free
software. Well, I can't imagine it's not going to be free software, is it? It's probably about four lines of shell script.
No, you need more than that unless you're a hardcore Perl one-liner type of program, haven't you?
Well, we've got enough of them in the log.
Next one.
Yeah, we've got one, and that's enough of them. Oh, no, we've got two now.
they're making up. Are we going to pick one more?
Let's have a see what it's 404
is. One piece of software you'd like to ditch forever.
The fucker?
Is Gnome.
Oi!
I think he's just doing that, just to argue with Axe ditching KDE.
We'll have less of that. Oi, I was reading that.
Sorry, I was checking the levels.
Are you sure
he
said QT?
Right?
I mean...
All right.
Hang on, I'm going to read this out. I know this is going to get me into trouble, this is room 404 option, but I'd have to say Gnome. I appreciate the original aim behind Gnome in that QT wasn't and arguably still isn't free.
Still isn't free.
But the fact is it sucks donkey balls. Right? I mean, I'm not sure I agree with the bloke, but you can see he's in with the whole Lug Radio vibe to these things, can't you? Gnome as a window manager slash desktop environment is unintuitive and a complete insult to anyone who wants to actually use a computer without fighting the system.
Hmm.
When people talk about Linux being ready for the home desktop, they're talking about KDE, which is slick and powerful and doesn't take a degree in comp sci to use. You can sit any vaguely clueful non... Jono, you can't switch it away while I'm reading it, you
sorry,
spaz. You can sit any vaguely clueful non-geek in front of KDE and they can sort things out for themselves without any assistance. It just works.
Trademark.
Well, realistically, all I can say is this.
There's more.
No, right, no, sorry. I might not have understood your entire point. GTK-based applications all suck too. The only exception I can think of is GIMP, for which GTK was written in the first place. They might have decent functionality, but the interfaces suck. Even bloated Qt apps with limited functionality still look good. Qt might not be truly free, but it's damn good at what it does. I know it will never happen, hence concept of Room 404, but I wish we could just scrap Gnome and everything to do with it and work on a free API-compatible Qt replacement, like Wine does for Windows. Then we can have the best of both worlds, applications which are both tasty and morally approvable.
Father Perf, as I said.
Yeah, Father Perf. My summary of that pretty much boils down to the word bullshit.
Would you like to expand on that?
I don't believe I can go any further into it than saying, can you hear any of the shit coming out of your mouth? Or possibly out of your keyboard?
He did say one good thing. He likes QT.
You say one good thing about QT, it's not free. No, I like QT,
but it's not free. And more than that, it costs you a fucking fortune to do any Windows development.
It's not free for Windows.
My objection...
GPL is not free.
It's GPL.
No.
It's dual GPL. Licensed. QT's dual...
But if you have a disagreement, you've got to go to fucking TrollTextTown to talk to about it. I'm a skin-free software developer, they should come to me.
It's a piece of software, and it's GPL, therefore it's free.
Yeah, being clear about this from my perspective, the fact that QT is allegedly non-free doesn't bother me in the slightest. And Jono has to some extent convinced me that QT is a reasonable widget set.
It is a reasonable widget set.
But
I do enjoy programming.
QT applications do not look nice, they look shit! It looks like fucking Fisher-Price My First Desktop. It's like Windows XP, except half the stuff doesn't work.
I think,
and the other half of the stuff is all in the fucking control panel.
Now, the one thing that really does my tits in is Q-string. You can't cast it to anything else. It does my fucking head in every time I try.
Really?
There's got to be a way.
So it's
I don't know what the fuck it is.
So it's a boil-the-ocean approach. You know, if you've got anything in anything else, you have to basically make it QT, rather than making QT work with
it. You can't use any of the C++ stuff, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, Jesus, man.
Fuck that shit.
Sorry, just fell over.
Okay, should we carry on now?
I think we have a good father. I think Nicopol is our final Desert Island Discs contributor. Did we do Nicopol, or was it someone else who's we didn't do?
Nicopol.
Yeah, Nicopol.
We've done Nicopol. Was it Daniel Taylor who's...
No, we did Daniel Taylor
right,
last
Nicopol.
Time.
Let's do Nicopol. Let's have a look at his. Kyle, what's that? LaTeX editing. All right.
Yeah.
Grip.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, Grip is for ripping CDs. I used it. It rips CDs. I can't see anything that's better than any other CD ripper.
Did we say you could take a fucking suitcase full of CDs?
We're here talking to Austin Seven or something. Austin Macro.
Austin Allegro.
About macOS X 10.4.
Right. Yep.
Is it? Do I call it macOS X 10.4 or do I just call it macOS 10.4 or macOS X 0.4 or what?
Just macOS 10.4.
Right. macOS 10.4, Tiger. Austin's going to tell us a bit about it and then we're going to slag it off. I don't know why I'm talking about this like we're serious. But sorry, Austin.
Right. Biggest advances in macOS are mainly to do with how the user uses the operating system.
Funny that. as opposed to the way they, you know, look at the pretty picture on the box or something.
Not sorry, usually
Apple. Yeah.
Not usually Apple's strong point is actually using the operating system.
Well, I mean, it's mainly, as you know, all machines are coming with absolutely massive hard drives now. So the key point of macOS 10.4 is finding your stuff easier.
I thought the keyboard was going to be a shitload of pretty cool graphics that you didn't need.
They're really ugly this time, mate.
Well, it looks better than it has done in 10.1, basically. But, they're basically concentrating on making all users' documents and pictures and all that sort of thing easier to find. The biggest feature, I think, is the Spotlight search facility, which can basically find anything on your hard drive, no matter what it is, using the content in the file and its supporting metadata.
Right, so why not just save things in sensible directories?
Because people can't be asked, basically.
Okay.
Because you can't really tell them.
Sorry, did you say sensible metadata? Is that like, you know, first gig and stuff like that, and like how many headbangs?
No, metadata.
Okay, so that
people injured in the mosh.
So you got the Spotlight, which is essentially a way of finding all this different information because, okay, people are lazy and they don't necessarily bother to save things in the right places. So really what you've got is, well, I've heard it described as a Google for your computer. I mean, is that essentially what they're claiming?
That's more or less it. I mean, the core technology that the Spotlight service was like built on is the search in iTunes. If anybody's used iTunes at all, then you know that's fairly easy to find anything in your collection.
I'm an iTunes user.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And to be really, really scary, I actually keep all my tunes on my girlfriend's Windows machine. So,
right.
So totally non-Linux usage when I'm using iTunes. I'm like,
funny thing about trying to use iTunes on Windows is when you've encoded all your tracks on the Mac and then try and copy them over and then Windows has to fit it, funny characters.
I don't know, I don't ever play media on... Well, I say don't. The girlfriend occasionally downloads stuff and the Windows machine is rigged up to the TV for certain things that we might want to watch. but I don't generally play MP3s and media and stuff on there.
Well, they would be the free movies available from archive.org.
They would generally be the things I missed off BBC Three the day before, and I pay my licence fee, and I pay a Sky subscription, so I should be allowed to download them just to watch them that once.
Yeah, how does that apply to Fahrenheit 9/11?
I haven't got that. Have you got that?
I haven't got
Michael
that.
Michael Moore said it was okay. So you got Spotlight, which does all that. I've heard a couple of other things like.
Before we go into something else, can we go
yeah,
on
sure.
Spotlight? Something Apple have done over and over again is reinvent the search facility and say
it's much better
than it was. So they added metadata, so that made it better, and now they're searching the contents of the file and everything as well.
Yeah, they seem to...
How does it actually work in practice? How fast is it?
Apparently it's... obviously I haven't had my hands on a copy of Tiger yet.
Because it's not out until next year.
Supernova.org.
Are there
but DVD only, which is another point I was going to bring up.
Are there pre-release copies at this stage?
There are. There was at the Worldwide Developers Conference last week. They were giving all the developers basically a free copy.
So you could have a copy if you really, really wanted one.
Yeah.
But you're electing to wait until Apple release it.
Well, if I could get a copy.
Right. Okay.
It's about 3.5 gig.
Sort of like. Legitimately.
3.5 gigabytes?
Yeah, DVD only as well, which kills me because I've got a G3 PowerBook without a DVD player. So
you were mentioning the Spotlight and how Apple keep reinventing the search.
So is this just more of the same? Is this just... Because all I've read is, you know, Tiger's going to be this amazing new search-based operating system. Is it just, you know, hype?
It's something they've done before. They did it a few times. Was it 8 or 9 that had a big improvement in search, then 10 had another one, didn't it?
Version 9 had Sherlock.
Sherlock, which
died and turned into a...
Watson.
Another application called Watson.
Yeah.
Which someone else wrote and then Apple bought...
As I understand it, they didn't.
They ripped it off.
They basically ripped it off.
In that case, that's a very, very neat segue into Confabulator.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Confabulator is basically a program that allows you to use widgets. Little programs that anybody can write, providing they know a bit of JavaScript and a bit of XML. And basically, Tiger has a dashboard that uses widgets.
Okay, what was user widget for? Give us an example.
Anything from being a little calculator to a little iTunes remote.
Why do I need some dashboard thing to use them? I mean, what I can use a calculator on the screen. What's the dashboard do?
Well, the dashboard's basically it holds all your frequently used tools like address books, calculators, off the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you need to use them, you just hit a shortcut key,
and
all those items come in. You can play with them.
Okay.
Yeah. The idea behind the widgets thing is you can basically write small applications in HTML with JavaScript doing the work. So if you've got any web development skill, then you can write applications now. You don't have to get a proper compiler and write C or whatever. You could presumably write as big an application as you liked, but it wouldn't be a very suitable development environment if you're doing the next version of Xcode or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's mainly designed for the small, like, little applications to do just a small job.
Desk accessories.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
So, what is it, Austin, that you like about Mac OS X? I mean, what makes that your OS of choice? I mean, have you used Linux, and what do you think of it?
I've used Linux, mainly the bloated Red Hat, but I mean, as a choice for web servers, I would probably choose Linux to run the web server. But as for my desktop, obviously all the mainstream graphics applications are available on the Mac, and they run very well on the Mac. You basically get the job done. You don't tend to have to worry about it falling over and deciding that it's going to shove a blue screen in your face. I mean, it's got the support of the major software vendors, mainly sort of like Advantage over Linux, and it's got the same kind of core as Linux.
So when you say bloated, Red Hat comes on what? One CD, is it?
Three CDs.
Fedora Core 2 is on three CDs, having downloaded it yesterday.
So it's three CDs, which is what? About
700 times 3 is 2100 megs.
As opposed to 6 gig, which is Mac OS X 10.15 or whatever.
3.5. It's about half as big again.
Well, it's the development version at the moment. I don't know how big it's going to be when it comes out. Currently, Panther is two CDs.
Right. So what's the... Sorry.
Sorry, I was just going to say, me and Austin are sharing a mic, by the way, so if it sounds a bit weird... No, I mean, I was joking about the whole size thing. I mean, what I'm curious to find out is just thought I'd point that out. What I'm interested to find out is, I mean, I use Mac OS X Panther, and it's quite a good OS, but the interface, although people seem to rave on about the usability interface, to me it seems quite limiting. You can't really be much of a power user with Panther, I don't think. What do you think of that? I mean, would you consider yourself a power user? And if so, you know, can you make Mac OS X do pretty much anything you want it to?
I'm a power user as far as it goes to using graphics and web, basically. So the performance of the operating system while working on huge graphic files is why I tend to use it. I mean, you can... I always think that it's designed to work as simply as... You know, a six-year-old child can, like, you know, draw pictures on it, to a full software developer, you know, to actually write software that works in it.
As the father of a six-year-old child, I can say that kids can use all operating systems equally as well. once they can understand the mouse and clicking. They get sometimes get a bit messed up saying, why isn't it working? And you say, well, you're clicking the wrong button, son.
Yeah.
That's my machine you do that on. But they do move between operating is easier than adults do.
One slight caveat is that Sparks taught his kid to compile a kernel when he was one.
Don't be daft.
I don't think you've got a normal child in that respect,
C, C was his second language.
I've got a couple of questions. One of them is... you know, I mean, okay, you talk about macOS being okay for 6-year-old child, and we're saying, right, okay, all kids can use KDE, Windows, whatever. But it's when you get down to maybe the slightly harder things in Linux, say you're running Debian, you wouldn't have a 6-year-old child who would easily be able to launch a web page from Thunderbird, for example. That's not necessarily the easiest thing in the world.
Kids know how to click on a blue underlined bit of text quite
quickly. I know, but it might launch up Conqueror instead of Thunderbird. How easy is it in macOS 10 to have across-the-board default applications for certain types of file, which, in my experience, isn't that easy all the time on Linux-based systems?
You go to File, Open With... and then the one you open it with turns into the default.
Simple answer.
It's quite obviously simple. I was trying to do this for ages. This is why I know this. When I first started using OS X, I was thinking, well, where the hell is it? Because it used to be somewhere on the Apple thing, and you had to go there and into the choose and all that shit. But now it's not. You just go to File and choose a different application. It remembers it.
I'd really like to kind of get a look at this confabulator thing, because we started talking about it and then kind of got cut off. What's the well, it was you that brought it up, so you were saying about, you know, gdesklets and things like that. What's the link there?
Yeah, to go back a little bit, confabulator was a third party macOS X tool.
Yeah, it was. It still is.
The confab
less use for it now, though.
Apple are, as Austin mentioned, writing into 10.4, what's it called?
Dashboard.
And the confabulated people are firmly of the opinion that Apple have ripped them off. Ripped off their idea and their plan. And they're at the point of saying they've ripped off their code, but they have ripped off their idea and they've basically killed confabulator. Now,
possibly KDE's code. Being it's going to be based on KHTML.
Being that it'll be based on WebCore. But yeah, now, to drag this back to the subject of the show a little bit, Linux GNOME has for some time had a thing called gdesklets. Now, like a reasonable amount of things, this was out there ahead of Confabulator. It was out there ahead of Apple's new dashboard tool, obviously. But it's a bit more difficult to deal with. They never got the final usability hurdle out of the way. You can write little applications, you write them in XML. The idea is you've got displays and sensors. Sensors are small programs which know how to read data from things and push them out, and displays know how to get that data and display it in a widget. So the principle is the same as dashboard, as confabulator, but they're a little bit more difficult to use.
Do you think you've just summed up the difference between OS X and Linux there?
Pretty much, I would say. In a lot of cases, yes. They had the idea a while back, but no one ever pushed it quite forward.
Right, just briefly, could you just give us a few more of the updates? Just briefly, quickly say what they are. And then what I think would be really interesting is we like have a chat about the way that this relates to GNOME and KDE.
Right. Another one of the important updates is Automator, which is basically a drag and drop macro maker. So you can make it crop images and resize images.
So I said, trying to do some resizing there.
Trying to talk while you're in the Log Radio studio. There's all sorts going on.
Carry on. Austin. Yeah, so you've got the Automator, which basically lets you drag and drop to create scripts. Yeah, sounds quite interesting.
It is. It looks like it could be certainly a way forward to make anybody be able to write macros, because obviously there was Apple Script to start with, which is difficult.
It looks like it could be Visual Apple Script +++, I suspect.
So a couple of other things that they're doing? Anything else, or are those the major things?
They're the ones that interest me.
Right. So this to me sounds like sounds similar to what Longhorn is going to have. I'm not saying who's ripping who off. I'm just, you know.
Except that it's going to be out in a couple of months.
It's going to be out in a couple of months.
As opposed
time,
to
yeah.
in 3 or 4 years' time.
I mean, Longhorn has all this stuff, you know, like it has an automatic script building system. It's got the Win Future system or whatever it's called.
WinFS, yeah.
Which is all about, you know, basically putting SQL Server into a desktop operating system. Whoever thought that was a good idea, I don't know. But
that's kind of like sticking your web browser as your file manager. Really.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a good idea. What is it? Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, guys, check your date and time. It's 1995 all over again.
What it seems to me is that basically these two operating systems, particularly OS X Tiger, is going for an information-based, you know, information searching and surfing automated way of using your operating system. What do you think effect, if any, that has on GNOME and KDE? I mean, are we going to see something like automated scripting in sure. GNOME in a couple of years' time?
The automated scripting, I'm not too sure about. One of the things that I think is interesting is that, I mean, metadata-based file systems and deep searching and so on is a big hot topic at the moment. And if you look, take that as an example, Microsoft talked about WinFS and Apple have got the new thing and all that. But Seth Nicol has been talking about GNOME storage, which is essentially the same principle, a metadata-based, highly indexed, easy-to-search file system for about 3 years now. It's not really progressed much beyond that, but it's another one of the things where the ideas are already there in the Linux community. One of the things I'd like to know is whether we're devoting development effort to the wrong places, because normally if a new thing comes up, someone in the Linux community has already thought about it, they developed a prototype, they put it together, but no one ever pushed on further with it because it never bubbled to the top of the list. I don't know anyone else thinks.
I think the thing about it is that a lot of these technologies that you're seeing in these proprietary systems do exist within the Linux community. I mean, I was reading upon the things that are going to be in Tiger, and a lot of the functionality in there is available. The difference is that it's just not integrated, mm-hmm. and that's the core difference between Mac OS X and Linux.
Yeah,
things. But then again, this is the thing about free software, is that GNOME is written as a framework. It's intended for distributors to put together to form a coherent system.
Yeah.
In some ways, I don't see a lot of that personally, because I use Debian. Mm. It's not really customized to be a really integrated system, because it's just a massive amount of packages that you install yourself. So, you know, I suppose it depends on who you're talking to. I mean, I'm sure the Fedora people think a lot differently to the way I'd think because of their experiences. But yeah, that the technology is there. It's just a case of like access, I think, bubbling to the top and sort of be mature enough to be used and integrated. So,
cool.
You just talking about the difference between Mac and Linux is Apple integrate things. That's Apple's big selling point, is the integration, and our big selling point is flexibility. Mm-hmm. So, the two things aren't, they don't have to be separate. They can coexist. It's really hard to get them to coexist.
Yeah,
that's where everyone's trying to go.
Right.
I think an interesting point that John has made in the past is that if you look at pretty much any selection of features that Apple could have picked for Tiger, you can point to pretty much all of them and say you can do that on Linux already. There's very little they'll come out with, which is actually a totally brand new thing. You know, part of the point is that that's the stuff they've decided to aggregate together. And yeah. Jono has talked in the past about how the role he sees for distributions in this is doing exactly that, deciding which bits of software to aggregate together into a consistent distribution. Whether anyone's doing that is a different question.
That's a big question.
People are trying to do it. You look at Red Hat, Mandrake, whatever. But, you know. Project Looking Glass. It's a steaming pile of shit. Does anyone have any comments?
I was wondering how you're going to start.
The steam smells nice, though.
No, we ought to let Jono speak first, because he's the new I Love 3D Desktop environment.
He's
so we'll let him speak,
it on his machine.
And then we'll make him eat his own bollock.
I think this is just jealousy, because you talk about things and I install them.
Hang on, is it written in Java?
Eh?
Is it written in Java?
It is, yes.
Oh, fuck that.
Right,
3D... application written in Java,
non-free.
Yeah, fucking
all right, let me. All right,
give us a rundown.
I'm gonna have to give you the official.
I'm so excited. See if I can control myself.
Right.
I was going to have to hold my crotch for this section.
Right.
Just say, can't see my arousal level.
My view of this, right?
You can see my arousal level.
Oh, project.
Zero.
Come on.
Right, Project Looking Glass, okay? 3D environment. Yeah. I have my skepticism about it, admittedly, right? But the thing I wrote today about it was that before anyone knocks a 3D, there hasn't been a lot of work done within the open source community on 3D interfaces.
Because they're shit.
Right.
But we don't have 3D input and output devices.
But the thing is, no, that's bollocks, that is. I think you can interact with a 2D screen with a 3D interface.
No, it's 2D.
In the same way that when I play my PlayStation 2, I'm using the control pad to interact with 3D.
It's 2D, you just think it's 3D. Your brain thinks it's 3D. Yeah, but it's never 3D, so that's
Project
the point.
Looking Glass in.
Yeah, but that's 2D. What it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, anything on a monitor's 2D, yeah, but yes. It's a 3D interface.
Let's let John O get his words out.
Bastards. So anyway, yeah, my view is that I think it's great in the sense of people can play with it and explore, and if at the end of the day nothing happens, then nothing happens, but at least it gives people the opportunity to try these things out. And that's the whole point of open source, is that people can try different ideas. If they're shit, they're shit. We don't use them.
It's as 3D as your normal desktop is now. You put one window on top of the other and put your little Gestalt-sized college hat on and start talking with a German accent. You think one thing's in front of another when it's not, and it's the same project.
What I found interesting was that earlier, Jen, who we spoke to about the FudFest, she was saying that, we go around our lives and think that we're interacting with a 3D environment in real life. But you think about the things that you actually do interact with.
Mm.
A bookcase, is it 3D or is it 2D? Because you...
Well, mine is 3D, because the only way I get all my books stacked anywhere, but...
No, yeah, exactly. You use it in a 2D way.
Yeah.
Your kitchen cupboards, you still use it in a 2D way, because you've got two planes of X or whatever that you...
Yeah. The kitchen cupboards are different, because you stack things up and you put them deep and high, but most things are 2D.
Mm. One of the things I was thinking about, actually, on the way over to the recording, was that there's very little in our environment which you need to actually interact with in a genuinely three-dimensional way. A lot of it is 2D with stacking. Yeah, so it works as three-dimensional stuff, but if you look at kitchen cupboards, for example, you've got,
leave one in there,
yeah.
When you tap the beans,
no, exactly.
Don't carry on floating.
The only thing I could actually think of where you interact with something in a genuinely 3D environment
is swimming.
Flying a plane.
Or swimming.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you swimming. But that sort of thing, where you're moving in free air, exactly that.
The thing is,
and if you look at people flying a plane, they've got two odd joysticks. You know, it's not as if they're controlling it all off a mouse and everything. I think if you have a genuinely proper 3D environment, you need proper 3D controls, which is what Sparkus has said.
Sparkus.
I'm right, Sparkus. We are so pathetically predictable. Given that it's not actually a 3D environment, you could probably get away with 2D tools, but I'm not clear there's a point to a fake 3D environment.
When I first saw it, I thought, it looks pretty, but it's probably going to be completely pointless. And as far as I was concerned, it was like, well, let's see where Sun takes it. If Sun takes it somewhere and it's interesting, then brilliant, everyone's happy. The thing is the fact that they've GPL'd is... The only thing that I think is good about it is that people can play with it and explore these different things. Yeah, it's perceived 3D. It's not actually 3D because it's on a screen for a start, right? And you've got 2D control input devices. But at the end of the day, so long as people can actually play around with the code and try these different things out, we might discover some things that are quite cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was reading about quantum string theory earlier, and...
as you do.
And, there's a suggestion that we could live in a 10-dimensional universe or whatever,
Yes.
And the only reason that we can't see the other six dimensions is just because we don't know how to, or we're not able to, It's like describing colour to a blind person, something like that.
Really small.
Or that, that could be one of the things, or we just can't experience them because we don't have the sensory ability to do that. Yeah. And the thing is, though, just because we can't see that something's there, it might still be there. And so there might be a good use for 3D desktops.
Exactly, and the other thing
you've got to fiddle to find out.
The other thing is that a classic example of the Linux community. Earlier on, we all praised and hailed the Speaking Cow program for its usefulness. Yet Project Looking Glass is bollocks.
couple of things. The point that you've made that Sun are pushing it out there and saying, "Go ahead, do what you want with it." Then
Yeah, I'm all in favour of that. People experimenting, everything working with it and so on. It's just that surely there's some fucking better thing they could be doing with their time.
Open source and Java for a start of it. But
well, that was another thing I was going to bring up. Without wanting to sound too much like Debbie and Legal here, right?
Please. You don't want to sound like Debbie and Legal.
Can you
please, let's not sound like Debbie and Legal.
Can you GPL a Java program? Because surely it's linked with a lot of Java libraries which are not free. Now, the GPL allows you to... You're allowed to link with non-free libraries if the non-free libraries come with the operating system or come with the compiler.
Yeah.
So you can GPL a Visual Basic program, for example, because the VB runtimes come with VB. So that's okay.
There was a discussion about this on the list.
Right, okay.
And the guy was basically saying... the GPL says that so long as you write code that is GPL'd, there's the clause in the GPL about linking to non-free things.
Yes.
But that's the same argument with KD and Qt back in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because they considered Qt non-free. But the actual code that you're writing is GPL'd and that's free.
But
it's just the linking thing, isn't it?
The point about that is if I write a piece of GPL'd code which links to a non-free library...
It becomes non-free.
If I link to a non-free library, that code is... The code itself is GPL'd, but it's non-free. And that means no one at all, apart from the writer, can distribute it. Because no one else can consistently distribute that, and therefore you're not distribute it at all.
Not wishing to turn this show into...
I know, I said I didn't want to sound too much like Debbie and Legal.
Well, not wishing to turn it into programming lug radio, but I mean, with Java software, is it statically linked or is it dynamically linked?
It's got to be dynamic.
Everything's dynamic.
I'd have thought it would have been because dynamic. It's not so bad, is it? If it's like, if
it can't be statically linked. It's not compiled.
Yeah, everything's got to be dynamic because it's
the whole bytecode thing makes it difficult to say anyway. I mean, if something's JIT compiled,
could you not just LGPL it?
No, because that works the other way, not that way.
Yeah.
Oh. The thing is, all these problems go away if Sun
GPL Java.
GPL Java, and this is the thing because Looking Glass is never going to go into that.
Why don't we just do something else like Python?
What do you mean, do something else?
I don't know, use Python instead of Java.
I totally agree with you.
Suck off Python. Java.
But it's not me you've got to convince. Yeah. It's Sun. And Sun aren't going to abandon Java, their one big hope for the next century, and start using Python for it.
My Spark, when it came, it was all new and shiny, and it came with the including Sun, Java, blah, 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 gubbin sticker. And I peeled the sticker off and installed Debian. Right, so it shows just
the thing is
the faith we've got. The good hardware, fantastic hardware. Got my lovely 2D monitor, but it's big, and I look out into the real 3D world beyond it. But it's lovely. But I had to get rid of the software because the software's shit.
If you look at what a lot of people say, when I remember when Looking Glass was GPL'd.
And I remember when Looking Glass was GPL'd all those 2.5 weeks ago.
I remember the days.
Hey, when I was
this morning.
We thought that we'd...
What were you saying about being predictable? when it was... steady on, Matt.
Bless you.
When it was GPL'd, you could see people looking at the initial interface and going, ooh, that looks quite pretty. Then they read the bit which says written in Java. And that's the biggest problem with it, is that... How many Java programmers are there that
about 400 million?
No, but free software.
Exactly. They're all writing J2EE software in companies and stuff like that.
But a lot of it's going to be re-implemented into free desktop, apparently, into the X server. So
yeah, the X.org server is apparently going to have a lot of 3D stuff built in, which means that you know a lot of the 3D stuff from Project Looking Glass will end up in the X.org X server, so every application could basically get it for free,
this
which is quite neat.
Next and SGI were doing like 10 and 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It didn't work then.
Yeah, but to be fair, about 10 years ago, Windows was doing it so you could plug in a device and it would just work, and we're just catching up now, aren't we? So, you know, it's nothing new about Linux catching up about 10 years too late.
More to the point, part of the reason that Next were failing back then is that you didn't really have the graphics hardware do realistic on-the-fly 3D. SGI, even then, couldn't do it, and they were streets ahead of everybody else.
You shouldn't... How the hell is this going to run on your phone and on your fridge and everywhere else? We're going to have to spend the equivalent of a couple of £1,000 now on every device in 5 years' time, because we're all going to have fucking 3D interfaces. A 3D interface and a 4-inch screen, that's not going to fucking work.
I can play Doom on my phone, that's 3D. Anyway.
No, it's not.
I know. Have you got any final thoughts, Sparks?
Oh, we're running into the this is the end of the show part.
This is the end of the show as you know it.
Okay, we're wrapping things up. We've talked about quite a few things now. We've had had our first phone in, we've had our second guest in the studio, and we've talked about the shite that is Looking Glass.
I thought you were going to be diplomatic about this.
That was being diplomatic.
Diplomatic in the Midlands way.
It's brilliant, but I've got flight gear if I want a faux 3D application running on my X server.
No, but it's a 2D application. It just looks like a 3D application.
No, I said a faux 3D.
I thought it was like, I'm going to throw a 3D application.
Innie, governor.
Wicked. Carry on with your final thoughts, Barks.
Do I have to have a final thought?
Yeah, you do. It's the way it works.
My final
thought.
This is our next piece.
Thoughts for the day. Tell us about your tea time. My t-shirt incident. We've got to start at the beginning with the shoes. Right. Can you all make a comment on my shoes? What do you think of my shoes?
They're fine.
Granddad's shoes.
They're shoes. They appear to be like trainers made of suede.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe them.
I was walking together paper the other day, and this girl in a
corduroy.
I used to have some corduroy shoes. They were fantastic, mate.
I bet you had woolen trousers.
Flared t-shirt.
Sketches or Vans or something. And they were fucking cool.
Yeah.
Get back in. This girl in a school uniform, like the height of fashion, says, your trainers are shit. Right.
Seems a bit unreasonable, just out of nowhere.
My trainers are perfectly good, and they go perfectly well with the Hulk style that I've got here.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, that's right. The whole style.
Yeah, what would we say Sparks' style is?
Act normal compared to a terrorist. Running some kind of underground terrorist training organisation.
Basically, he's got bright yellow t-shirt on, some green slacks, and some suede...
Slacks!
Stained green slacks.
I did not have sexual relations with Sparks.
Come on, back to the subject of shoes and the next.
If the cigar fits, you must fit. Oh no, what are we going now? It's dangerous territory.
You know, I mean, you were talking to a schoolgirl about your shoes.
Talking to a schoolgirl about my shoes, which is got to be the punchline to a joke. I just haven't worked out what the fuck it is.
On your trousers.
But God, it's a good story. She said your shoes were
shit. I said to her, yeah, yes, schoolgirl, what the fuck do you know about fashion kind of thing? And she says, my trainers are better than them. And she got her trainers out of a bag, and they were Nike trainers with, like, fucking shock absorbers on the back. And I said, so your idea of looking cool is looking like all of your friends, right? Which I thought was a fucking brilliant point to make.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she says... I said, looking cool is by wearing the same Nike trainers as all your friends. And she says, it's not Nike, it's Nike. So I says, it's not Nike, it's Nike. And she was a fucking Greek goddess.
Absolutely.
And then I got in my car and drove away, and a jaw like was not hanging. But the same thing happened to me today. This is like twice. This bloke, I was walking through the Manor Centre, which is a big shopping arcade in Wolverhampton. And this bloke says, don't you know, yellow t-shirts are stale. Fucking yellow t-shirts are stale. For a while I thought I'd had like some kind of trip and I'd gone through a time warp, and it was the 80s. And it got my Adidas on his stereo and shit. Right? Stale. And I turned around and looked at him, and he was wearing fucking fake Burberry to me, because I'm not a fucking expert on these things.
Chavscum.
Yeah, chavscum.co.uk. Fine forums and pictures of these kinds of people. And I turned around. I says, you're talking to me about fashion when you're wearing fake Burberry. And this guy squared up to me and says, it's not fake, this is real Burberry. And I said, well, the point still stands, it still looks shit.
It's still Burberry, you chavscum shit.
Yeah, and he wimped out a bit then, and he backed down and walked away.
If you've actually met Sparks and you'd understand why he'd back down, you know, you don't argue with a man of this size.
Not on a chair of that size as well. Sparks is like an 8 feet giant.
He is.
You wouldn't want to knock him off.
I couldn't believe it. There's so many people commenting about the way I fucking dress. What's wrong with this world?
Like the great grape ape, except yellow. I mean, I would say, you know, you look like you're about to paint something, but if you're wearing a tuxedo, you look like you're about to paint something.
Wearing a tuxedo, people call me the accused.
He does actually look... Did you ever watch that show with the bloke who painted walls? What was it called?
Brush Strokes. Apart from the fact that Jacko is about 5 foot nothing and no sells fucking kitchen cleaners.
I don't know what I mean, 5 foot
nothing. The bloke with the glasses on.
Oh, I'm going to fucking deck you, you bastard. I was just about to start singing some Dexys Midnight Runners there, but he pulled me off my swing.
It was called Alf or Elf or...
It wasn't called Elf.
Something like that.
Guys,
actually...
I think we better tie it up.
Yeah, hey, you guys.
It's the end of the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've had lots of new experiences, and we're going to do it all again in 2 weeks' time.
What kind of
it'll be stale then.
My t-shirt will be stale if I leave it on, so I'm taking it off when I get home. It's going in the wash, and I'm finding another t-shirt to be commented on tomorrow.
That's a nice vision for
his name is Spots.
Yep, thanks very much.